USA Radio News with Melanie Marquette.
The polls show him a little behind. I think he can overcome that. Rubio's another case entirely. He's going to have great difficulty in winning Florida.
Donald Trump leads two of his Republican presidential rivals in their home states less than a week before primaries there. However, University of Virginia Center for Politics Director Larry Sabato tells Fox News Ohio Governor John Kasich could win over Trump.
Kasich has a much better chance of winning Ohio than Marco Rubio does of winning Florida. One would expect him to win his home state. The last popularity rating I saw for him as governor of Ohio was 62%.
The latest CNN ORC poll shows the GOP frontrunner with a big lead over Senator Marco Rubio in his home state of Florida. Trump has 40% support to Rubio's 24. Trump leads Kasich in his home state of Ohio 41-35%. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Initial attempt of censorship of the name of Jesus gave the Praise and Worship Club cause for alarm. There is gratitude being expressed now that corrective action has been taken. Now officials at the Johnson Space Center in Houston have announced they will allow the name of Jesus in the club's announcements. Jeremy Dice with First Liberty tells us this means the name of Jesus will now be allowed in email correspondence by the club.
Now they have accepted the new announcements and inclusive of Jesus' name and have indicated that their policy going forward is always going to be to allow that kind of speech to happen.
Jeremy Dice of First Liberty says their clients are pleased.
It's unfortunate that it came to this, that NASA actually had to send an attorney and kind of tell our clients that something was wrong.
Other attorneys called the action against the Praise and Worship Club a grave violation of not only religious liberty, but of free speech. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
30 years.
This is the way it's been. There's nothing new here. This is my sixth year as Secretary of State. Every primary that I've been involved in has been run by these same rules.
I'm Tammy Rose.
Attorney General Loretta Lynch says companies that deny some information to law enforcement could create public safety issues. The FBI wants Apple to unlock a phone that belonged to one of the shooters who killed 14 people in San Bernardino last year. The tech company argues that unlocking the phone could have long-term implications for privacy. Lynch told a Senate Oversight Committee today that what the FBI wants from Apple is nothing the company hasn't provided law enforcement hundreds of times before. And a new system now allows customers the ability to instantaneously switch money between different banks. Some institutions already have the ability to switch customers' funds with each other, but the actual movement of the money takes anywhere from 1 to 3 days. Clear Exchange moves money immediately at the tap of the finger. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech, WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Did you? Am I supposed to be talking? Did you already play the disclaimer that Nikki did? See, folks, what happens is because I'm a stockbroker, securities rep, financial advisor, lots of titles, lots of licenses. Before I get started, I have to tell you, don't listen to anything I'm telling you.
Well, that's a great disclaimer, Joe.
Well, I know, but it's FINRA, Financial Industries Regulation Authority.
Right.
They come up and they say, hey, and anytime you see a stockbroker, financial advisor, when it says SIPC, FINRA at the bottom of whatever goes on, they come up with these disclaimers. And I mean, it's so goofy, but I'm telling you, folks, every time you see one, you need to pay attention. Now, here's another thing that's important, though. Before I get started telling you what I'm going to tell you, first I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to tell you. Is that good, Vince?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds like a plan. One of the things that happens, and I repeat this regularly, and if I don't, I feel guilty. If you're ever dealing with a stockbroker, a financial advisor, look at the bottom of his card, business card. Look at the bottom of any newspaper ad. Look at the bottom of any radio ad, not the bottom because you can't look at it. Look, there is a disclaimer every time, and it will say securities offered through or something like that, and it will name the broker-dealer, minus Centaurus Financial, but it could be Dean Witter, Smith Barney, pick a name, Merrill Lynch, makes no difference, because everything that a licensed person does has to have the scrutiny of compliance officers. So like my poor people out in California that are my broker-dealer, my compliance people have to listen to every one of my shows.
Yeah.
So for a whole hour, we talk about nothing that has anything to do with securities very often, and sometimes the whole show nothing, yeah. And they have to listen to the show regardless.
Well, they might learn something, Joe, if they listen to the show.
This is, hey, first of all, compliance people, that was not me talking.
No, that was me. We do talk about things other than securities trading, and for a compliance person, do they know much about tax law?
There you go.
Well, do they know much about mortgages? Do they know enough about insurance products?
How about real estate? How about legal?
Exactly. You got a lawyer, legal matters. So yes, they could learn something, Joe, listening to the
show. I know,
show.
But boy, they used to give me a ration about trying to learn because they said, Joe, you know, you're putting us to sleep with these shows, you know, can't you, you know.
Oh, I need to talk to those people over there.
Let me tell you, folks, first of all, this is the Team Martech Hour. Team Martech basically started doing radio shows 12 or 13 years ago. We're not sure exactly when, but we're using 04, or as they used to say, ought four.
Ought? You ought not use
ought,
that term.
Ought four. That was when it was 1904 or 1804. As our official start date, because we know we were doing the shows before Hurricanes Francis and Jean started, which was in 04. And the whole concept was very simple. Joe's Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses. But there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything about anything. So what happens, if you're a credible professional, you align yourself, hopefully, with other credible professionals. Because in order to service your clients properly, they will ask questions that you don't know the answers to. So first two members of the team was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Now remember that word independent, folks. Independent means they don't work for one insurance company. It means they work for the client. And the premier independent insurance agents, this is important too, they've been in business a long time, usually in the same location, and they have lots of companies. Now, why is that important? Well, as an example, you'll get a kick out of this. My car insurance is with Dan, and when my renewal came, the premium was pretty high. So Dan's office called, said, Joe, we hate to tell you, we went through 45 companies. This is the best deal there is, period. And do us a favor, quit having accidents and quit having tickets.
You really want to admit to that, Joe?
Well, it's the truth. So the point was, and I'm trying to quit that stuff, but you know how you go years and years and years, and it just hit me, then all of a sudden, in 1 year, bam, 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 bam. I mean, it just, what caused it? I don't know. It's got to be a woman's fault, as far as I know, but do you think?
I'm not. No, I bet you it was no comment out of here.
I bet you it was Connie's fault, because I could say she looks guilty right now.
Now, wasn't that from a song, Running Down the Road or something? Maybe that's how you got the ticket.
That could be. Running Down the Road is exactly right.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah.
One.
Or Running on Empty.
Yeah, boy, that is a line, too, in a song, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The
one,
name of a song.
888-221-8990. 888. Now, come on, class. Now, this is important stuff. Write this number down. You got to keep this number, because you today have two professionals here, Vince Rizzino, CPA, who's the tax man, who has got 70,000 pages of tax code all memorized.
Word for word.
Word for word.
Word, wow.
Jeff, I don't remember words.
I don't remember words, right? Yeah, then he translated it into Greek in his spare time.
Yeah, the Septuagint version.
Yeah, right. 1-888-221-8990. This is a toll-free number, any place, 888-221-8990. So Vince Rizzino, CPA, is a critical member of the team, because probably on a weekly basis, at the least every other week, I call Vince, hey, Vince, got a client's got a problem or a question, and you'd think after 25 or 30 years, I would know most of the questions, but there's always a new one that comes up.
And of course, those are always the most difficult.
Well,
so
course,
the ones that you can't just give you an off-the-cuff answer.
You got to look them up
look
and
them
do
up
a little
and
research.
Yeah.
And it just, and then if the answer was good last month, it may not be good this month, because things change.
Either they've changed things or they're talking about changing things.
Yeah, like I get a kick out of it. And let me just, before I get back into Social Security in a minute, which I want
to
hang into that subject, because, you know, me, I can run amok here and forget my train of thought. But other members of the team, Greg Fasula, attorney. Now, why is he critical? Well, when I first meet a new suspect or prospect, one of the first things I do is ask them if they're ready to die. Now, there's a couple answers here. One, are you ready to meet your maker, ready to meet God? If the answer is yes and quick, we don't talk about that anymore. If you say I'm not sure, or if you hope, then we got to spend some time on that one. Next one is, though, have you done a will or a trust? And if you have not, or even if you have and it's out of date, I feel one of my responsibilities as a professional is to make sure you are aware of any problems that may or may not occur. So my job is not just to advise you on money. I look at mine as a pretty broad thing. And it's no different than helping you with taxes, with any of these things. In fact, which brings me up to another one of a competitor, about a broker, about transferring assets before they die.
Oh, that's always an interesting subject.
That's a very interesting one. Other members of the team, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Let me tell you this. Anybody wants to buy or sell a house, this is the hardest working person alive. You couldn't make her lie if you tried. This girl is going to do what she says. If she says she's going to call you back at 3 a.m, you better stay up, because 3 a.m, she'll be calling you. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, works hand in glove with Victoria. You go into a bank, you apply for a mortgage, you may not know what's going on for 2 or 3 weeks. You call Mike, you find out in 15 minutes. He's no more expensive than a bank, and under most circumstances, costs less. So when we put this team together, it's local professionals that are not new in business, that have integrity, big word, expertise, competency, and they're just good people. What I was going to go into with the trust, was that a subject that I was starting to bring up before Social Security or after?
Yeah, I think that was after, I think.
But yeah, yeah.
Either one are very good subjects, Joe. You get into it.
Get into it here. You see, but
no, you should kinda get into it because I'm having to deal with it.
Well, it's an interesting thing when we talk to people, and different people need trust, different people don't need trust, right?
No, some people need them and some people don't.
Exactly. Isn't that what I just said?
I don't know, but
did you interpret?
It's a Septuagint version.
Yeah, right. I was going to say the Greek version.
Well, some of the things that happen when it comes into a trust. The reason we have a trust, period, is to avoid probate. That's the reason for a trust. Now, there are,
for the most part, yeah, there is some asset protection, but not a lot. Unless it's an irrevocable trust, and okay, that's a different story.
Now, most people, folks, when you hear about a living trust or a revocable trust, that means the same thing. Normally, that means while you're alive, you're the one that started this thing. You're in charge of it, and you can buy and sell, add, subtract, do whatever you want to that trust. The day you die, it's over with. That thing becomes in concrete, and whoever's next in the line in the trust has to do what it says in that document. That's their responsibility. So if people used to give trust thinking they were going to be protected from lawsuits, etc., and what Vince was saying, if I started a trust today, and let's just say I had $1 million, and I put it all into the trust, and then the trustee was not me, and the owner was not me, I gave it all away, and Vince was the trustee of that trust, I'm out of it. Now, I might be entitled to an income from it, I might be entitled to something, but I cannot buy, I can't sell, I can't do anything. I am no longer an owner of that trust.
You're a very passive player at that point.
Passive.
And you just get what the trust throws at you if it's in the document.
If it's in the document.
But you have no control of the assets.
No control.
You give up those.
So if I get sued, they can't touch that.
Well, that's the reason why, because effectively it's out of your estate also, Joe.
It's out of my estate.
Once the money moves over,
yeah,
it's not subject to estate tax.
Exactly.
Or anything else. It's not your money, essentially. You're entitled to income from it,
yep,
but money's not yours.
I have no control over what happens to those assets legally. Now, I could call Vince up and I said, Vince, I'm going to break your legs if you don't give me an extra 10 grand this week. And Vince will say,
if I'm the trustee, and I call the sheriff.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess I made the wrong guy the trustee.
We kid, but the trustees have obligations.
Oh, big time.
And fiduciary responsibility. They can be sued by the beneficiaries
if they
do something wrong. If Joe says, I'm going to break your legs if you don't give me an extra $200,000,
whatever.
Guess what? Those beneficiaries might have a problem with that.
And they probably will, because once I put it into this, quote, irrevocable trust, that means I don't have any control.
You shouldn't, except for what the document
The document provides for. Now, very often, Connie, just so you know, the document says, okay, I'm allowed to the income off of that. And usually they put a limit to the income, say 5 or 10% a year, usually 5%, give or take. But point becomes.
It depends. I've seen them where all the income is distributed.
Whatever it is. So the whole concept is that is one document. But let me go into an ad I'm listening to on the radio, which I get a kick out of, because you know we believe everything we read on the internet.
Bonjour.
Anybody that hasn't seen that commercial on TV where there's this guy and this girl standing on a doorstep in on a row house, and the girl says she's got a blind date with somebody she met on the internet, but he's a French model. and this ugly guy walks down the street. Bonjour. So
you always believe what you read on the internet.
We always believe what you read on the internet, which leads me into Social Security. Now, here comes the skinny from a guy that's not skinny, which is you, Vince. I hate to say this.
Listen, I never claimed to be skinny.
Well, no way you could. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm always truthful.
Well, you couldn't. Even if you weren't on this one, nobody believe you anyway, because they can look at you. But anyway.
Well, I never said I was skinny.
So there is something changing in the Social Security code that's pretty dramatic.
Yes, it is.
And it takes into effect, I believe, the end of it.
End of April.
End of April.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that?
Well, yes, I can give it my best shot. Well, in the past, Joe, there was a loophole that allowed for taxpayers, once they reach their normal retirement age.
Now, stop with that word, normal retirement. No, what you're talking about.
Okay, well, normal retirement age is in the law. depending on your date of birth, you're eligible to get full retirement benefits at a certain age,
which is about 66, give or take.
If you were born before, I think 1938, it's 65.
But when you say full retirement age,
you're usually 66 or 67 at this point.
Somewhere in between those two numbers.
Right. And those people who are in the 60s now, probably it's 66.
Yeah.
But once you reach that normal retirement age, when you're entitled to the full benefit,
right.
There is such a thing called a spousal benefit. Now, what is the spousal benefit? That means your spouse is entitled to, if you file for your benefit,
right?
Your spouse could file for half of your benefit or her or his or hers, depending on which one is greater,
right?
And latch onto yours at the same time. That spouse's benefit would continue to grow.
Now, here's the major point of that. So Vince and I are married. This is not a pretty picture.
No.
I'm old. I'm 66, and Vince is 60. So I apply for my Social Security because I'm at full retirement age, and Vince is 60, and he's my spouse. Boy, this is really a bad example.
It is a bad example. Where the heck did you come
from? I'm just going to divorce Vince. It's you and me, babe. So Connie
thank God.
Is 60, and we say, okay, fine. Connie can now get a spousal benefit. Is that right at 60?
No.
62
is unless there are exceptions to this. If she was married greater than 10 years and the spouse died, but if you're still alive,
but let's just say
it's a different story. Let's say you're still alive, 62 would be the earliest she could get a benefit.
So now she goes in and checks her 62 benefit is say $800 a month, and my Social Security benefit, let's say, is $2,000 a month because I made good money during my life. That means she could go get $1,000 a month as a spousal benefit. And let hers continue to grow all the way, basically, until she was 70. And that benefit might be at time. It's going to grow at 8% a year, isn't it?
And it's even better than that, Joe. If you do something called, that's a restricted claim, by the way. They call that a restricted benefit. Yours, when you file, you don't even have to be taking your Social Security benefit. As long
meaning
as
you being 66
guy. 66 guy, you could file and suspend your benefit. What does that mean? Well, then your spouse is eligible for that spousal for benefit.
And mine continues to grow.
Under your earnings, yours continues to grow and hers continues
until
to
I'm
grow.
70.
Until you're 70.
But then I got to take it.
Then you got to start taking it. You can't go beyond 70. Then you have
if
to
if I'm not dead, that's not a bad thing.
No. But okay. The beauty part about that was you could see the loophole.
You know,
you can collect off of one spouse's earnings.
Right.
And yours is just continuing to grow on the other side. And you, at the same time, don't have to take your own.
And
until
then what happens to Connie, she then can wait until hers gets higher than the spousal benefit. Assuming it would, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as she does that, if you fall into this category between now and the end of April, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a month and a half. Minute.
Right.
But that loophole is closing. Am I not right?
Yes, that loophole will close for those people who are not filing and suspending and taking the spousal benefit.
So that loophole, then it becomes basic rule. So basically, here's the back again. I'm 66 and I do my benefit, and Connie's my spouse, and she's 62.
She gets a reduced benefit based
off of
yours.
She gets her benefit, but not half of mine.
You only can claim your own benefit.
You can only get her own benefit. If we can afford not to have her take it, hers will grow at 8% a year from 62 to 6, all the way to 70, right?
Yep.
And then you'd have to do me a favor, Connie.
Okay.
Don't die.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying not to. So you got to stay alive at least until you're, 75 so I can make up the difference and collect that money. Then you can cash out.
Oh, okay.
Because you'll be, I'll be getting a good check from you.
Yeah, well, I'm at least looking for 15 like the guy in the Bible, the king in the Bible.
Anyway, that's just a bit of a change in the law that's going to affect some people.
Well, it's unfortunate because that is such a boom for many, many, many people.
Yep.
Particularly those that don't need, like say you don't require to collect your Social Security benefit.
Yep.
But if you file and suspend
because
you don't need to collect
it. Because you don't need it, right.
It bills at 8% a year until you're 70 years old. You can still have that benefit, but only for yourself.
And 8% a year is a pretty nice return.
Oh, heck yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing. Now, the only negative is if you decide to die, boop, it's all over.
Well, you never decide to die.
You never. Well, sometimes.
I don't know. Unless you're going to Dr. Kevorkian.
Or whatever. Or you get shot by your wife or something, which is, don't keep a gun in the house, folks. I'm just telling you, this is not a good thing. unless you're a CPA, then you can trust your wife.
Well, I don't know about that.
So the whole concept is there's rules changing in Social Security, and if you fall into that category, this is an important thing to understand so you can make a decision now that you cannot make after April 30th.
Yeah, because those that don't reach that 62 years of age by the end of 15 and then have until April to do it,
there you go.
They could be locked out.
1-888-221-8990. So we had two subjects today. One I want to lean on again. When you get things in the mail, or you see things on the internet, or you see it on TV, or you hear it on the radio, and there's no reference to securities offered through XYZ broker dealer or FINRA or SIPC, no disclaimer, be a little bit concerned, because a lot of people, let's just say they publish things that may not be accurate because there's no regulators looking at them, making them do it. As an example, let's say your state license for insurance. There's no regulators here that make you send the ad into the state insurance commission first to check it. You can publish pretty much anything you want. Now, that doesn't mean you won't get in trouble if you lie and cheat, but the key is this: ahead of time, it's a bit of a problem. So I've got one today, Vince, that, have you heard this ad on the radio for Canadian Social Security?
Mm-hmm. I've been hearing a lot of that lately.
Yeah, and it's called...
Sounds like a fraud to me.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So what do they want you to pay them up front to get the
kidding.
Benefit?
Oh, and it gets even better. So... what it does is they make it sound like you're getting into the Canadian Social Security program, but they do put in the word piggyback.
Yes, piggyback, right.
Now, basically what that means is if we go back to when we were kids and we used that word piggyback, I don't know if there is a clear definition of piggyback, but basically it means copy. So if you can get into the Social Security system and you can copy it exactly and be on the outside of it and still collect according to the Canadian system.
I think the piggyback means, you know, one on top of the other, Joe. That's probably what they mean. You can take one benefit and the other one on top of that.
So what they're trying to say is you can contribute money to this fund, and they are, in theory, copying the Canadian system, which is earned pretty well, and then you're going to start collecting monthly checks from this system along with your regular Social Security.
So you got to pay into that system, but of course there is no system.
There is no such system. You got to pay into it.
So this is a beautiful thing for them.
I know this is. So I'm looking at this document today, this piece of paper, which is like 8 or 10 pages with charts and arrows and graphs that nobody can read. And you need a microphone or not a magnifier to read. And there's no disclaimer on it anyplace. And it is somebody. They do put the name of the company that's doing it. Not regulated, evidently, and who knows what they're selling, because I don't know. But it comes up, and my client that I'm seeing says, Joe, what do you think of this? And I says, well, what do you understand about it? So she says, well, here's what I understand. If I give them $30,000, they're going to give me $1,800 a month for the rest of my life.
Oh, but what a beautiful thing.
And I'm thinking,
and these gullible people believe this.
I'll give them 30 grand right now. Now, because the only problem is, in a year and a half, you have gotten your whole $30,000 back. That's a 70% annual return on your investment. Oh, and by the way, this never ends, and when I die, the remainder goes to my heirs. I say, this gets even better.
This is economically sound.
Yeah, it sounds perfect to me. 70% return, that's no problem.
No problem. Where does that money come from? Sounds like a Ponzi scheme. They got to keep getting more and more people involved with
this. You better get a lot of people to make it work. Well, then it's even better. And once I join this group, I have other benefits.
Oh, what is that?
One of them, I can get an 11% return from a bank.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is this on the money you're putting into the plan?
I didn't even ask. But the point is, let's assume that I take my other $4.11 that's left over. or $400,000 and I put it into this bank, and I'm going to get 11% return on that. And I'm thinking, boy, am I excited.
This sounds like a free lunch.
I said, I hate to tell you, but and this is a categorical statement, and you hate to use these, but there ain't no bank in the United States that's paying 11%. Now, there may be in Argentina.
Yeah, but their dollar gets devalued every day, doesn't it?
Well, besides that, we have a little bit of volatility. There's no guarantee of your principal, no FDIC, no insurance company. There's no nobody, nothing. So you're pretty much at risk. If it's even one, what I'm trying to say is it ain't very good. And I look at this thing, and people start paying attention to this, and they read it because it looks legitimate. Quote, all this paper and all this print and different colors and charts and arrows and graphs and how they can do this, and I'm thinking, oh boy, it just gets me so excited that I'm watching people that are somewhat sophisticated get led astray, and these people do this until they get caught.
Yep.
Then when they get caught, what do? They change names, change states, change something. How many of them actually get prosecuted is scary. Very, very few.
You know, Joe, there's so much scamming going on today that the average person needs to really be wary of any kind of claim. To any excessive benefit, excessive returns. You've got to be careful with this stuff. I mean, it sounds appealing because people, let's face it, there's a lot of people hurting, and they're looking for they're looking to hit the lottery.
People have heard, you know, that the Canadian system is better than ours. Okay, we agree to that.
Right? You do?
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact.
I've heard.
Is it better?
One, it's not controlled by the government 100%. They have outside investments allowed.
So they actually have a trust fund.
So they actually have a trust fund set up. The Canadian system does. Now, a lot of countries, including the Bahamas, all kinds of people have their own version of Social Security. Which ones are solid is a good question. You and I both know. Outside of America, let's just say America is 100%. Nobody else runs 100%. They might run 90%. They might run 95%. I would probably say Germany, England, maybe Switzerland. There's X number of countries that I would feel extremely comfortable with my money sitting there, but there's a whole bunch of places I would be uncomfortable because the governments don't have what we have. So,
you know, when the dictators take over, Joe, the first thing they do is confiscate all the retirement plans.
Little minor thing.
Yeah.
You know, first they take your guns, though. Then after
guns
your
first,
guns,
then
they
the
take
money.
Your money.
Yeah.
Nothing serious. 1-888-221-4700. 1-888-221-8990. So, remember the group, Joe Martek Financial Advisor, Vince Rizzino, CPA. Also, just let me toot his horn just a hair, he's a forensic CPA. Mm-hmm. Forensic. You know, I always loved that word.
Yes, you do. You use that all the time.
I love it.
It's true. It's forensic. I mean, in my case, it has to do with supporting litigation. Basically, we get hired by attorneys to be expert witnesses in a court of
either
law.
Either for or against.
Either for or against. Yeah. And we're, you know, independent witnesses, basically.
So what happens is, in order to be, if you read any of these novels written by attorneys about attorneys like Grisham and stuff, when you're prosecuting somebody or defending somebody, they bring in, quote, expert witnesses, which is almost synonymous with the word forensic. They have to be court approved to even come in and testify. Otherwise, it's just Joe Blow that's coming in, and who knows if you can trust him. And
yeah, and we dig deeper into the things than the normal accountant.
And you're supposed to.
Yeah. That's why they hire us as experts.
In fact, my son-in-law, they have a firm that's a forensic engineering firm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't do anything except go to court.
Okay.
Or they recommend to their client, don't go to court, just pay, get rid of it, otherwise you're going to lose big time. But usually it's big claims, multi-million dollar claims, big fires, something that looks like it could be a friendly fire.
Yeah.
You know, here's a $4 million boat that sinks out in the middle of the ocean, you know, minor little things.
It's called an ethnic lightning.
Right. Very good, Vince. I like that. 1-8, anyway, so the forensic part that Vince is just an extra credibility. And at one time, for an old guy, he actually taught at the university.
Well, I wasn't that old when I was teaching, but it was about 10 years ago.
You were still pretty old then. You're just older now.
I was a young pup back then.
Did you have gray hair back 10 years
ago? Yeah, a little bit. Just on the sideburns.
Just on the sideburns. It's creeping.
But I was teaching, but not at Columbia.
I remember that part.
Yes, it was. I was teaching at SUNY Old Westbury. It was the State University of New York.
Whoever heard
and
of that?
I was an adjunct professor. I enjoyed
it. Adjunct. I like that word, too. That's another word, like forensic. Adjunct. You know,
I throw that in there once in a while.
It's like having a third arm. Adjunct.
But it was fun, Joe. It was fun teaching the young people because they are the future.
Oh, of course.
And they absorb everything you tell them.
The only one of my favorite sayings, though.
They try to absorb, but they don't all absorb it.
This saying is you'll definitely understand this, is those that can't teach.
Oh, those that can do, those that can't teach. Joe, get that.
Get your saying
right,
right.
Get that right.
I paraphrase.
Yes, you paraphrase that.
I know, but
I don't believe that necessarily.
Well, I know you don't. That's why I had to bring it up.
Because I do and teach.
Yeah, but you don't teach anymore. Now you just do.
No, I'm just doing.
888-221-8990. So, concept of the group again, basically, is to help people in all of these different areas of expertise, which includes the law, includes insurance, real estate, mortgages, taxes, setting up a business, closing a business, and money.
Absolutely.
We don't talk enough about it's very hard to be objective when it's you looking about something for you. But if you get somebody on the outside that has no vested interest in you, they're going to be more objective and tell you the truth. So there becomes why an expert like Vince comes in handy. But in the meantime, we got a caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
I got an insurance question.
Go right ahead.
I'm 68 years old, and I got a... Hold on a minute. Turn my radio down.
Good man. Turn that radio down. Otherwise, we all sound goofier than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I heard them on there. Some of them like that. I think they hear the stuff on the radio.
Okay, anyway.
I'm 68 years old, and I got a company here writing me, say they got an offer for $37 a month for a $30,000 policy.
For a life insurance policy?
Yeah. It's a whole life.
Yep. And you pay $37 a month, and when you die, they're going to give you how much?
They're saying $30,000.
$30,000. And you're going to pay only $37 a month for it?
Yeah, that's what the brochure said, is publication. Plan.
Now, does it give you the name of the insurance company on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Colonial Penn
is a fine company. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, one of the problems that might occur, I would call them up, and they have an agent, and they'll tell you the truth. I mean, I believe this is a solid company. They're licensed in the state of Florida, and what might happen is they might have what's called a 2-year disclaimer in there that says that they're going to pay you that $30,000 or $3,000. My guess, see, that it sounds more like $3,000 to me than $30,000. I would look at it a little closer. But the key thing is this, that sometimes because they say no physical, no questions, no nothing, if you die within 2 years, all they do is give you your money back. But if you die after 2 years, then your family would get $3,000, which would help with your burial expenses. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
So bottom line is, if you got that piece in the mail, they got a phone number on there, you call them up and you tell them, hey, I'm 68. And you say it cost me $37 a month, and they'll probably want to have you sign a document that they take it automatically out of a checking account. And then when you decide to die, as long as you wait a couple years, they'll probably give your family whatever the benefit is. But if you can get $30,000 out of them, I like you a lot, because that's pretty hard to get for somebody 68 years old. But I'm guessing, look at it a little closer, it might just be $3,000.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, caller.
1-888-221-8990. Because I had a lady, it's just coincidental. funny shouldn't think. She says, Joe, I want life insurance. And I says, well, how much life insurance do you want? She goes, oh, I want enough to bury me and leave my kids some money, maybe a couple hundred thousand. Okay. And I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 70. I said, okay. Health, fine. She has no health problems. Weight, everything is good. And I said, now there's two kinds of life insurance. There's what's called term insurance, means you pay for a term. Let's say it's 10-year. And after 10 years, it's over. Then if you didn't die during that 10 years, the insurance is over and all the money you paid in is gone. Now, that's the cheapest kind of insurance you can get. Now, does that work? Well, it works very well for people that want to protect things for a period of time. Let's just say you're a young family and you've got little kids and you want the kids to have enough to go to college and you want to protect your wife. So let's say the kids are 2, 3, 4 years old. So you might get 20-year term that would then pay all the way through them going to college. And if you didn't die after that, you just kick them out of the house and say, you can't come back anymore because I don't have any money left.
Joe, it's almost like the rent to buy analysis, you know?
Yep.
Term insurance is your renting in a sense, you know, because when your term is up, you have nothing.
You got nothing.
If you have whole life, it's more expensive, but you got some equity at the end.
And yes and no.
Unless you die.
Unless you die, then
your beneneficiaries get it all. They get face value of the policy.
Point, that's it. So the whole life is what he's saying. You basically pay for your whole life.
Right.
And the premium is much, much higher. Let's say double or triple. Maybe even more, depending on your age. But no matter when you die, they're going to pay the face amount of the insurance contract. And let's just say you don't die, and all of a sudden you're 85 years old, and you don't need to leave life insurance. It may have built up some cash value, 2, 3, 8, 10, 20,000. And all of that is disclosed in the policy and should be explained to you by the agent. So now there's variations of these two. But let's just stay simple. Term, you pay for a term and you're protected for a term and you're just paying to protect for that period of time. Whole life, basically you're going to pay for your whole life, but you can stop. You can cash it in. And after a period of time, there may be some cash value in case you decide not to die. Both are designed to protect you in case you die or when.
Yeah, do you really decide when to die?
Well, you can, Vince. Come on now. You jump off a cliff, you know. This is not recommended.
That's suicide. We're not talking about that.
Well, that's called a decision, right?
Oh, okay.
Well, first I had...
And then the policy doesn't pay if you do that.
Well, yes, it does.
Not for suicide.
Yes, it does.
How many policies will pay you for suicide?
All of them, but you have to have it at least for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
The incontestable clause is only good for two years. But I get a kick out of it when I've had people say, well, hey, if I get this or I get that, I'm going to kill myself. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to go out into the ocean and I'm going to drown. I said, how are you going to get to the ocean if you're disabled? We'll have somebody drive me. I said, no, you won't, because they would go to prison for killing you, for being in a... So you're in deep trouble. This is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So, you... Don't you know? And I know you have talked about this with clients of yours, because you get close to them and they get depressed.
Absolutely.
And
it's, you know, it happens frequently, not frequently, infrequently.
It happens enough. I had a client of mine that had every health problem in the whole world. I mean, you name it, he had. I'm not kidding you. He'd had 9 heart attacks, bypass surgery twice.
Wow.
Brittle bone disease, crippling rheumatoid arthritis, epilepsy.
Ooh.
And before he died, he managed to get breast cancer and then water on the brain. So they had to put a vent in his head. You know. Now, this guy had the best attitude of almost anybody alive. He pretty much would have to. He was on a morphine drip forever. So he goes out, and he had money. He went out and bought a brand new Corvette.
God bless.
So he had this beautiful, I mean, gorgeous, yellow, hot, and you know how they have, you can look through the windshield and you see the console, neat things, you know.
Yeah,
he was one of the first to have that stuff. And I said, Bob, how can you drive that? He says, well, I'm not really supposed to. And I says, well, what do you do? He says, well, whenever I really want to drive it bad, I shut off the morphine drip. And And then he says, I go drive it for about a half an hour until the pain gets so bad I can't stand it. Then I come back home and turn the drip back on. I mean, he was a character. Another story about him. He's one of my favorite people ever born. I mean, he is a boater. I'm a boater. So he had this great big boat. And one time he calls me up and he says, yeah, I got to sell the boat. I says, why? What happened? You love that boat. He says, yeah, well, I got down in there. I was working on the engines and I couldn't get out. And this was the fourth time I couldn't get out. And my wife said, if it ever happened again, she wasn't going to get me out. And this was the time she said she wasn't going to get me out. And I didn't have my phone with me. She left me there for 4 hours. And I said, so you're going to sell the boat? He goes, yep, going to sell it. He was all depressed. A couple weeks later, I call him up. He answers the phone. Hello. And I said, Bob, how you doing? He said, oh, doing great. Feeling good. Got new medication. Got these battery packs. Got all this good stuff going. And I says, okay, what? You going to sell the boat? He says, oh, yeah. And he said, but I raised the price. Anyway, he finally did get to die. Good man, good Christian, good solid person. I died for him, the agony. He called me up another time. You'll like this one, Vince. Now, you know, let me give you the opening line. Now, the opening line is the worst line you can ever get from anybody.
Go ahead.
Joe, are you a friend of mine?
Oh, boy.
Now, you know what that means.
Yeah. He wants you to assist him to do something.
He wants you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So first he qualifies you. Yeah, of course I'm a friend of yours, Bob. He says, okay, go skydiving with me.
Mm.
And I said, Bob, you're out of your mind. He says, well, I went down there to go skydiving. They took one look at me and said, no way in the world are we letting you go without a letter from a doctor. And I said, so he says, I went to my doctor and I said, I want to go skydiving. Doctor says, sure, I'll give you the letter, Bob. You're going to die any minute anyway. So, you know, why not? He said, but I don't want to go alone. And I said, Bob, you're out of your mind. You know who's going to die on this thing? Me. And I'm in perfect health and you'll live. I am not jumping. I don't care how close I am to you. I am not, unless you give me your boat if you die.
Well, why would he need you? Don't they have skydivers who will join you on a companion basis?
He didn't care.
He didn't care.
He just was a sadistic underneath all that stuff.
Oh, that you didn't mention.
Yeah. And that was, it was, I know he would have gone if I'd have gone with him. But he'd been complaining the whole time. You remember, yeah. You see the bucket list?
Yeah, I did
remember,
see that
and
movie.
And they're in
yeah.
the airplane. Yeah. And he really didn't want to go. I could see that happening. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So that was a good caller on insurance. That was a good, quick explanation of insurance. We got to go. We now have covered.
And they talk about this incontestable clause again, because you're right. I'd forgotten about that. So in other words, you take if you last 2 years, the policy is in existence for two years or more,
right.
Then even if you commit suicide, then
they're going to pay.
They're going to pay.
Well, more important than that is what happens is when you make out an insurance application for anything, they ask you questions and you're supposed to tell the truth. Now, they're supposed to check you out and do that. But let's say you lied and you got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
They got 2 years to catch you. Now, if they catch you during that 2 years, they will give you your money back.
Right.
And cancel you.
Okay.
That's the incontestable period where the insurance company has the ability to catch you. And a lot of them, they do, they used to, I don't know if they still call it retail credit, where they send people out and talk to the neighbors and they're looking for a problem.
They do their due diligence.
Due diligence. So they have 2 years to do this due diligence. Now, you think about a guy, let's say a high roller. He gets a $2 or $3 or $5 million 10-year term policy, and he qualifies for it, and he's 70 years old, and he's in good health. But he may have not reported his health. He may think he has a problem, but he hasn't gone to a doctor, or he figures he can get away without disclosing that. And then during the next 2 years, he happens to come down with cancer or something. And the insurance company finds out that he actually had that prior to the application, but didn't divulge it. Then they can cancel and give him his money back.
Well, how is this, you know how the technology's improved so much on DNA and DNA testing?
Yeah.
In fact, I heard an advertisement recently where you could submit your DNA to a company and they'll give you a family history.
Why not? I like that idea.
I'm just wondering, how does that play into the insurance underwriting of the future, Joe?
Good question. And I don't know, but the point is, they have 2 years to give you your money back. And I don't think they have to have a reason for it. They can.
But
just,
what if they find out that you're you know, have a tendency towards cancer or something like that? It's in your genes.
Let's just say on your questions that they ask you on the application, is there cancer in your family? And I think normally they say, is there heart? Is there this? Mm-hmm. Is anybody 5 years, 10 years?
So if you disclose it, they can underwrite it up front.
If you disclose it, they underwrite it. But let's say you don't disclose it, and during this 2 year period, they find out, hey, this guy's way too much of a risk because he didn't, and he didn't disclose. If you don't disclose one thing, let me tell you, that's a bad news. Now, another thing that happens is this is a big one. I have a neighbor of mine. One of the questions is smoking. Do you smoke? And she said no. Well, she lied. And in a blood test, they caught her. Uh-huh. Well, they declined her for coverage.
Really?
One of the questions they always ask, have you ever been declined?
Oh.
If you have, that's a major faux pas.
Ooh.
Either you got turned down because you lied or because they found something.
Right.
Or
so nobody wants to insure you after this.
So it's a problem. You got to be very careful in making sure you don't lie. You tell the truth, and then maybe in the process of the physical application, because normally they're going to have you either go to a doctor or they have a nurse come out and take blood pressure and blood, and they do not a major physical. But if you have a big policy, it could be a major physical.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They pay for it. Yeah. They pay for it. You know, now, well, we got a question. Let me finish that life insurance thing in a minute. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
All right. My question is, my wife suffers from RA. She has a very severe RA. I've been trying to get her to get an insurance for her. I tried a couple of companies, but once they go over the medicines that she's been on, they refuse the policy. I also have State Farms, and they told me that they will review the policy and they will be able to sell me an insurance for her. But I explained to them that my wife has a severe RA, and I have tried different companies to get an insurance for her, and they always, drop the policy once they review the medicines that she's been on. What can I do, when it comes to something like that?
Well,
that I would like to buy a
Here's what happens, and literally once you've been turned down by one company or two, it becomes more of a problem. However, I'm not saying it's impossible, but what happens is this. Let's just say you said, Joe Martek, I want to get $10,000, $20,000 worth of life insurance on my wife. Here's her medical history. Here's everything that goes. I then send that into a major broker that has 20 different companies that shops all of the companies, and they put all this information into the computer. And very often, one will come back and say, okay, fine, we will insure you, but these are the terms. Terms might be they may not pay a death benefit if it occurs in the first 2 years. They may not pay it for three. There's going to be some rules, and it's not going to be it's not going to be cheap. But here's what happens. What I do with every one of these, we take no deposit, we take no application. Basically, I call the information in, and you give me every single drug she's taken, doctors, everything over the phone, and literally, I then send it in to them, and then they come back to me and say, Joe, if we can get it, it's going to cost this much money per month, and then I come back to you, and you say, okay, fine. Then we fill out an application, then we send it in, and it's officially underwritten, physicals, all the rest of that stuff. Then they issue the policy, and then you pay for it.
Okay, that sounds good.
So if it is something you want, what you talk to you and the wife, and I'm gonna give you my. Are you at home right now?
No, I'm actually driving. I've been hearing you guys talking on the radio, and it sounds so interesting.
All right, then here's what you call when you're not driving. You call the radio station back, and Connie will give you my office phone number or take your name and number. And did you take his name and number? Okay, I've got your name and number. What I'll do, if not tomorrow, it'll be next week, I'll give you a call. Is there a best time to talk to you?
No, Joe. You can call me anytime.
Okay. So what I'll do is, if it's not tomorrow, it may be next week, but I'll call you and we'll get the information over the phone. If you would line up whatever drug she's on, and the amount, the name of it, the amount and the frequency, like the 10 milligram twice a day or whatever it might be. Give me all as much information as you can, and let me plug it into the computer and see every company out there and find out what we can accomplish.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joe.
You got it. And I'll talk to you, if not tomorrow, next week.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
You too. Thanks, caller.
Yeah. We were going into insurance, and I was staying with that subject, right?
Yes. I mean, insurance is a very fascinating. Well, I asked you about the non-contestability period.
Yep.
That's, I think that's a good protection for the insurance company, well, but it also gives you
the insurance company and the insured, because you didn't have that as a rule, and the insurance company after 5 or 10 years comes back and says, you lied, or we changed our mind.
We didn't really want to underwrite you, but
they've got 2 years to get that out.
That's only fair, so. I think.
888-221-8990 And by the way, I talked about this earlier today on our other show that we do, WPSL 1590 AM. It's on at 11 o'clock. Write this down. You can listen to us twice on Wednesday. WPSL 1590 AM at 11 AM. And that is called During This Upheaval in Not Only the Political Market, but the whole market, with stock market going bonkers and who knows what's happening. I've been a monster believer in what these call these debt instruments that are paying 5% and 6% interest. Now, this is not common stock, which means if the company goes bust and you're a common stock owner, you lose all your money. A debt instrument means that is a much higher on the pecking order of getting paid. Now, I don't like to deal with companies that even have a potential, so the ones that I'm using that are paying 5% are pretty much household names, utilities, extremely solid, solid companies. And these are 100% liquid, which means you can buy them today, you can sell them tomorrow. But they pay interest every 3 months. And like right now, the next one that I'm using pays in the middle of April, and if you own it anywhere between now and the 1st of April, you collect 3 months worth of interest on April 15th, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. Anybody that wants to get information on that as a hedge, because, and I'm not giving you the whole story because Connie's telling me to shut up pretty soon here. It isn't exactly the way Connie talks to me, but that's how she thinks. I can tell. I can see it. She's got the flashcards. So anybody that wants to get information on that, if you want to talk to Vince Rosino, CPA, I mean, this is tax season, guys. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, a subject that we need to talk about next week is Obamacare and the penalties.
Yes, sir. And it's they're becoming more expensive now every year.
Big time.
And depending on your income.
I'm really hoping that this next administration, whoever it is, modifies that to no end or something.
Well, you know what the bad part about that is? You get the penalty, and then you still don't have insurance.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting, isn't it? Or if you get the insurance and you're making the premium, and if you don't calculate it properly, now you got to give them and pay
extra
money.
You got to give it back. Because you don't tell them what your earnings are up front, they give you the credit in advance based on what you tell them.
Yeah. All right, folks, until next week, we want to thank you so much. We've been told now to officially be quiet because she says you're
You've
done, right?
Yeah,
goodbye,
Martech.
All. God
goodbye,
bless
everybody.
You.
The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.